We've entitled this sermon series for this month, Keep Believing. Last week, we talked about visionary faith. Do you have visionary faith? Visionary faith will move you, drive you, motivate you, keep you moving forward. That's what visionary faith does. So today, I want to talk to you about victorious faith. How many of you know the Word of God teaches us that believers have a faith that overcomes the world? Can I get an amen? Amen. How many of you know every born-again child of God has the spirit of an overcomer? Can I get another amen? Why is that? Because we have Christ living on the inside who gives us power through the Holy Spirit. So faith in Christ positions us to live and walk in victory. And our faith is the key to victory. And the only way to overcome the world is through faith in Jesus Christ. So I have a question for you today, my friends. Are you walking in victorious faith? Because you have to walk in it. I love this in 1 John chapter 5, where he says, "For whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith." It's a powerful statement. This is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith. Then he says, who is it that is victorious over, that conquers the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, who adheres to, trust in, and relies on that fact? Hallelujah. So whatever is born of God, and this is my first point I'm going to expound on, is born to win. So whatever, it says it right here, whatever is born of God is born to win. So John says that our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. That's what John says. It's a victory that overcomes the world. Faith in Christ is the act of putting our trust in the saving work of Jesus. Hallelujah. Faith in Christ is believing the message of the gospel. So we have to believe it. Anyone who believes in the cross of Christ for salvation, guess what happens? They step into the power of his victory. That's what happens. They step into the power of his victory. To put our faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross means that we enter into his death. That's the part that's hard. The cross was hard. But Jesus submitted to it and won the victory. But it was hard. It wasn't easy. Neither is it for you and I. When we have to die to self, it's not easy. But we enter into it through his death. We become partakers. Scripture says when we put our faith in the finished work of Christ, we enter into his death and his resurrection. We become partakers of his death on the cross because we die to ourselves. That's why the message of the gospel has always been and always will be a message of sacrifice. Always. Regardless of what all the prosperity preachers say. It always will be a message of sacrifice. Because we enter into his death. We become partakers of his death. We die to ourselves. We die to the power of sin. The power of the cross works in the lives of believers. We die to the old lifestyle and we enter into the power of his resurrection. That's why you are born to win. So again, I'm going to ask you the question today. Are you winning? And if you're not, you're in the right place at the right time, at the right moment. because we are born to win. Listen to how Paul illustrates what I'm talking about right here in Romans chapter 6. He says, we were buried therefore with him by the baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, so we too might sometimes live and behave. There's a lot of church people misbehaving. Happens all the time. They get off base. They misbehave. He doesn't say sometimes. He says so that we might habitually live and behave in newness of life. For if we, listen to this, for if we have become one with him by sharing a death like his, we shall also be one with him in sharing his resurrection by a new life lived for God. Hallelujah. So we know that our unrenewed self was nailed to the cross in order that this body, which is the instrument of sin, might be made ineffective and inactive for evil. This is loaded with truth. That we might no longer be slaves of sin. At one time I was a slave of sin. I'm not a slave of sin anymore. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Jesus set me free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus set me free. When I entered into his death, I died to myself. So by sharing in his death, we also share in his resurrection life. Now the word of God says that that is a new life lived for God. So it is through our faith in Christ that we are born of God. We're born of God by faith. Hallelujah. It's all by faith. So it is through our faith in Christ that we are born of God. So through faith, our will is surrendered to his. Our faith, though, is the key to victory. It is believing the gospel and everything the gospel provides. That's why Paul said this in Romans 1:16. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So this gospel of Christ is the power of God that puts us on the winning side. Puts us on the winning side. But we have to stay on the winning side. And we can, and I'm going to show you how that's possible. So he puts us on the winning side. So no power of evil, no weapon of darkness can overcome what has been born of God. So it is our faith in the gospel that overcomes the world. My faith in the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God. So you are born to win. When we are walking in faith, we are winning. And that's why the word of God says we walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. I don't live by what I see. I live by what I don't see. The Bible says that Moses endured affliction because he saw him who is invisible. Did he really see him? No. He saw him through the eyes of faith. He said, beyond everything that he was dealing with. And the Bible says that he was able to endure persecution. He was able to endure affliction. All the things that came against him, he was able to endure because he saw him who is invisible. See, that's what faith does. Faith sees into the eternal realm, sees into the supernatural realm. It believes God. It trusts God. It's totally committed to God, and it's walking in his way. So that's why, my friend, you are born to win. So again, I ask you the question today, are you winning? And if you're not, stay with me. We're going to win the Super Bowl. Hallelujah. The spiritual Super Bowl. All right, let me move on to another. Man, this is a power. I want to share this with you today in Colossians 1. This is my next point. Don't be moved. Keep believing. That's our sermon series. Keep believing. So don't be moved. There's all kind of things that are trying to move us. Get us out of church. Oh, come on, somebody. All kind of things try to remove us from the body of believers. I was just told we did a memorial service yesterday for our brother in Christ. We ordained Pastor Don Eskine back in the late 90s. He was promoted to glory. We had his service here yesterday, and I was talking to one of our fellow ministers and telling him, you know, I'm always focused on how essential it is that we stay in position and that we don't allow things to move us away. So you can't be moved. You have to keep believing. You can be moved, but you don't have to be moved. Now listen to this in Colossians 1. He says, yet now as Christ the Messiah reconciled you to God in the body of his flesh through death in order to present you holy and faultless and irreproachable in the Father's presence. But notice this next statement. And this he will do, provided that you continue to stay with and in the faith. Boy, you better circle that one, because you're going to need it in the days ahead. He said you have to stay in the faith. Continue in the faith. Stay in the faith. He goes on and he says, well grounded and settled and steadfast, not shifting or moving away from the hope which we are resting on and we are inspired by, which is the glad tidings of the gospel. So we are living in a generation where people are being moved from the gospel regularly. It's happening regularly. Many abandon the assembly of the believers. That always amazes me, because the Bible is very clear and very explicit when it says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. So in other words, there's going to be people who do it. Don't you be in that crowd. Come on, somebody. Don't you be in that crowd. You don't have to be in that crowd. God is clear in his word. But many change their belief system. Their values change. They fall under deluding influences. They might feel they need a drink at the club. So they go to tell their buddies about Jesus and come out drunk. Hey, listen, it's happened. I had a guy years ago, new convert, been serving the Lord faithfully for several months, and he said, Pastor, he said, I went to the club. I wanted to go witness to my old buddies. He said, I got in there and I ended up having a drink. I said, well, that was dumb. There's a reason why the Lord sent him out two by two. Come on, somebody. Amen. So that was dumb. So what did that accomplish? That he was swayed away, deluding influences. The Bible says in the last days, many people will be swayed away from the hope of the gospel. That's why you can't be moved, and you have to keep believing God. Every day of your life, believe God, trust God, stand on the word of God. Because we are living in a generation where people are being moved away. So the message we have here is that we have to continue. We have a responsibility to maintain a persevering faith in Christ. We can't go back to a former state of hopelessness, bound by the authority of sin. If we yield to it, it'll come in and it'll take over. And it's always lurking. See, nothing is more powerful than the Holy Spirit flowing through men and women of faith. And the Word of God declares that nothing is impossible through faith. So don't be moved away from the gospel. Keep your position. And that's why he says continue. Stay in the faith. Be well grounded. Be settled. Be steadfast. Don't shift. Because there's a lot of shifting going on. Stay strong. Matthew chapter 17. Verse 20. This is the story of the demon-possessed little boy. I know some of you parents are saying, oh boy, I better listen to this one. It was a demon-possessed little boy, and his father was at his wit's end. And in the context of the story, he says that he brought his boy to the disciples, and when he brought him to the disciples, he said, my boy is a lunatic. That's what the Bible says. You know what the word lunatic means? And there's a translation of the Bible that uses the word. He said, my boy is moonstruck. That has double meaning. It can have a romantic application. See, Becky's been moonstruck with me for 40-something years. I've been moonstruck with her for 40-something years. That's why I always say, baby, you look good. I'm just trying to stay as handsome as you. But it has another connotation that means affected by moon phases. Those that work in law enforcement, and Daryl, those that work in law enforcement will tell you there's when the moon phases happen, crazy things happen to people. They do crazy things. Yeah. That's what moonstruck means. So the Bible says that this father brought his son and he said, my boy is a lunatic. My boy is moonstruck. And he was at his wit's end. So then Jesus said this because the disciples were perplexed because Jesus cast the demon out of the boy. And they wanted to know, why couldn't we have done that? So he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, that is your lack of firm that is living like a grain of mustard seed. You can say to this mountain, move from here to yonder place, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Hallelujah. We got to stay in the faith. We got to stay rooted and grounded in the power of faith and realize that God moves in us, through the power of faith. Victorious faith. Hallelujah. When a believer is full of spirit-empowered faith, they move into the realm of the supernatural. That's what happens. Faith-filled people of God are a spiritual force, and they are motivated by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what they are. See, that's why faith is so vital. It's so important. The forces of darkness fear Holy Ghost, faith-filled believers. Come on, somebody. This is what the power of victorious faith looks like. That's why we must maintain our faith position. Don't let anyone or anything move you away from your position of faith. Keep believing, keep trusting, keep moving forward. And then we have this in Hebrews 3. He says, for we have become fellows with Christ, the Messiah, and we share in all that he has for us. He's got some things for us. Hallelujah. We share in all that he has for us. If only we hold our first newborn confidence in our original assured expectation, in virtue of which we are believers. In other words, this is what solidifies us. This is what makes us strong. This is what keeps us moving forward in faith. He says we have this confidence. We have this expectation. He says this is what characterizes us as believers. And it makes us firm and unshaken to the very end. Your faith in Christ, whether it was last year, 10 years ago, 50 years ago, Your faith in Christ has to go through the ups and the downs, but it is going to bring you all the way into eternity to be with Jesus Christ, who saved you, delivered you, and set you free. Hallelujah. So that's why he says, we cannot be moved. I have to keep believing. Keep trusting. Keep moving forward. Brings me to my next point. Now, I always say this, y'all. If you've been around my preaching any amount of time, you know I always say the point. The devil is after your faith. When someone steps into the Christ life, they step into the power of victory because they enter into the authority of the cross. See, you can't do it without him. Nobody can live effectively for God without the victory of the cross. It's impossible. You can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. But the cross is the basis, and it is the power of faith. See, the cross has reconciled lost sinners into the favor and blessing of God. The faith of a believer destroys the works of darkness because now as a faith-filled Holy Ghost believer, hallelujah, I am full of wisdom, I am full of faith, and I am full of the Holy Ghost. So you know what I say? Shut up, devil. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Because Jesus said, I give you authority. Luke 10:19. I give you power to trample over serpents and scorpions. Now let's clarify some things here. Because I've seen no snake handling churches. I asked Becky about that one day. I said, I wonder how they deal with visitors. She said, they don't get visitors. We have a minister friend, known him for many, many years. Pat Franks, does incredible man of God. He spoke here years ago, early on in West Point. Missionary. He lives in Big Stone Gap, Virginia. And he's close to some of those snake-handling churches. And those people, I don't know what they need, but they need something. Years ago, man in that church, he said, I've been trying to get my coworker to come to church. He said, she's never been to a spirit-filled church. I said, never? He said, no. He said, she's never been to a spirit-filled church. He said, I've been trying to get her to come, and he said, she agreed that she's going to come. I said, great. He said, you know what she asked me? I said, what? He said, she asked me, now, your church don't bring out snakes, do they? He said, oh, no. We only bring those out on Easter and Christmas. So Jesus was not talking about rattlesnakes. He's addressing symbolism. He said, I give you authority to trample upon demon spirits, forces of darkness, powers and principalities. My friends, that's what he's talking about. He says, I give you the authority over all of the enemy, physical, mental strength and ability, over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. My friends, nothing is more destructive to the forces of darkness than a Holy Spirit, faith-filled believer. Hallelujah. When believers live out a vibrant faith, they walk in victory. They are walking in victory over sin. They're walking in victory over the world. They're walking in victory over the devil. That's why you have to keep believing. You have to keep trusting. You have to keep praying. Keep advancing in a faith-filled confidence. Because we know we have an enemy who is after our faith. Hallelujah. But he's not getting it. See, the devil's main objective is to take down our faith. He wants to take our faith down. How does he do that? He works to isolate believers. He's been doing it from the beginning of time. He works to isolate believers, to remove them from the body of Christ. This is how he destroys faith. He plans to weaken believers so that he can weaken the church. But Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Hallelujah. In this new year, I'm praying, God, make us powerful. Hallelujah. Increase influence. Make us powerful. Raise us up as Holy Ghost, faith-filled, wisdom-filled believers that are moving forward and advancing in faith. But he wants to weaken the church, so he weakens believers. But Jesus empowers his people to take up the mantle of his power and his authority, because we are the channel that the anointing flows through. Hallelujah. This is how he says it in 1 John 3. He said, he who commits sin, who practices evil doing, is of the devil. Well, there you go. Takes his character from the evil one. For the devil has sinned, violated the divine law from the beginning. This is the reason the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works of the devil. Hallelujah. That's why he was manifested. The reason the Son of God was manifested, made visible, was to undo, to destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works that the devil has done. The devil has done what he has done. So then where do you and I come in? Well, notice what he says next. No one born of God deliberately, knowingly, and habitually practices sin. Now, you may mess up. But the Bible says if you do, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And then according to 1 John 1, 9, he says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I have an advocate. In other words, Jesus is my Morris Bart. One call, that's all. Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. No one born of God deliberately, knowingly, habitually practices sin. Here's the reason why. Because the nature of God is in him. The principle of life is in him. The divine sperm is in him. It remains permanently within him. And he cannot practice sinning. My God, I might preach today. Because he is born of God. Hallelujah. This is the mantle of victory right here. Are you walking in it? I'm talking about victorious faith. I'm not talking about mamby-pamby faith. I'm talking about victorious faith. I'm talking about believing God. I'm talking about moving forward. I'm talking about destroying the works of the devil. God puts a mantle on us that breaks the yoke of bondage. If Satan can get our faith, he can immobilize us. If he can destroy our faith, he can neutralize our authority. If he can get us into unbelief, tempt us, discourage us, distract us, then guess what? We give him the upper hand. Because the devil's after your faith. He's after your faith. Don't give it to him. Stay strong. Stay committed. Stay faith-filled. Keep trusting. Keep believing. And that brings me to my last point. Y'all know my little joke, right? Little Johnny in the service. Mom, what's it mean when the preacher says an in conclusion? Absolutely nothing, son. Absolutely nothing. Hallelujah. It's grace that propels you to victory. If I am going to walk in victorious faith, I am going to have to stand against evil. I'm going to have to call sin what the Bible says is sin. I can't compromise my faith, my stand, or my integrity. If God says it's wrong, I'm going to say it's wrong. If God says it's right, I'm going to say it's right. If God says to stay away from it, I'm going to say to stay away from it. If God says go there, then I'm going to say go there. But you're going to have to stand. You're going to have the grace to stand and to propel you to victory. Hallelujah. Because evil is all around us. So I am going to have to stand against evil. If I'm going to walk in victorious faith, I am going to have to stand against evil. and to resist the devil. It means to stand against him and to oppose him. Because guess what? The devil wants you to sin. Every time he can get a believer to sin, they busting out the champagne in hell. Now I'm saying that figuratively. Y'all know that. They celebrate. The devil wants us to sin. He wants us to question God. He wants us to question the character of God. He wants us to question the word of God. But I have to resist him. I have to oppose the devil. And I have to oppose all of his minions. His minions. They make a movie about that? The minions? A movie about little demons. Satan has minions. I have to resist and oppose the devil and his minions. I have to reject his allurements. I have to reject his intimidating threats. I have to reject his offer of enticing me with the things of the world. I have to withstand all of his trickery. And when I do, oh, come on, somebody. And when I do, the power of the Holy Ghost is released in me. He is propelling me. He is guiding me. He is moving me in victory. Every time you do it. Let me illustrate it biblically. James chapter 4. But he gives us more and more grace. I love this in the Amplified. The power of the Holy Spirit. That's what grace is. That's why in the Old Testament he's called the Spirit of Grace. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Grace. So right here in James 4. Now let's understand, you know, y'all know I like, as a biblical expositor, I always like to talk about the context. So the context of this chapter, he's talking about those who have formed an alliance with the world. He's talking about those who have compromised their faith. He's talking about those who have committed spiritual adultery. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the power of the world and how it can enslave people, how it can lure people, how it can trap people. And of course, he's applying it to believers. And he even says, adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with the world means to be an enemy of God? That's what he sets the context. So then he gives us this statement that he gives us more and more grace, the power of the Holy Spirit, to meet this evil tendency and all others fully. What evil tendency? That's all around us in the world. It's all around us, this evil tendency, and it's trying to get us. This is why God says, notice reading further, this is why he says God sets himself against the proud and haughty, but gives grace continually. To the lowly, those who are humble enough to receive it. So be subject to God. The word in the original King James is submit to God. Resist the devil. Stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. Grace that will propel you to victory. Do you see? He's not calling you to do it without him. You can't. It's impossible. But he says there is a part that we have to play. The key word for victory here is the word submit. A disobedient or unsubmissive believer will not live in victorious faith. The power to resist is found in the power of submitting. Well, y'all ought to put that one on Facebook. That's a good truth. The power to resist is found in the power of submitting. See, because to submit to God means to trust him and to come under his authority. So the meaning of the word submit is to obey, to be subject to be obedient to. That's what the word submit means. Now, the word submit in the original Greek language, it was a military word, a military term, meaning to arrange troop divisions in a military fashion under the command of a leader. Now think about that. That's what that word means. The word submit, it's a military term to arrange troop divisions in a military fashion, and they are under the command of a leader. It's like a yes, sir, military term. See, and here's the key to walking in victorious faith. Check this out. Hebrews 2, for it was fitting for him, for Jesus, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation. My what? My captain. Yes, sir. I am sold out to Jesus. I am committed to Christ. Put me in the division. I'm ready to march with God. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is the captain of my salvation. And notice what he says. He does it. He perfects it through sufferings. There it comes again. Buried with him in death, so I might be raised with him in power. What an incredible truth. Jesus redeemed us. Jesus destroyed the devil's authority. And Jesus empowered us as his own. He is called our captain, our commanding officer. Jesus is our trailblazer. Being raised by my grandmother, we had woods behind the house. And myself, a couple of the neighborhood boys, we would get on the bicycles. Kevin, I don't know if you were part of that experience. I think it might be before we met. And we'd get on our bicycles, and we'd go riding through all these weeds, and we're like, man, this is tough. There was no concrete. Somebody should pour some concrete back here so we'll have a bike path. But you know what we did? We became trailblazers. We got in there and we started pulling out tall Johnson grass. And once we kind of got it, you know, got it moved away, then we just started riding our bikes in the grass all through those woods. And you know what it did? It produced trails. That's what Jesus has done in salvation. See, there was no way to ride a bike in that wood, in those woods, until we took it upon ourselves to be trailblazers. So when you walk in victory, see, you have to follow the one who is the trailblazer. He is our trailblazer. He is the one who faces, because Jesus has already, he's already moved the weeds aside. He's already got rid of the trees. Hallelujah. He's created a path. Listen, don't the Bible say he makes a way in the wilderness? Come on, somebody. He makes a way. Yeah, why? Because Jesus is the trailblazer. So I report to Jesus and I say, yes, sir. What do you want me to do? The answer to the question is, destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. I remember when I first got saved, I was listening to radio broadcasts. I was so hungry for God. I'm still in conclusion. But we're almost there. I was so hungry for God. I timed my lunch break. I was working at a lumber yard, and before Becky and I started dating, and I had my first car, Oldsmobile Delta 88, baby. That thing was a tank. When I pulled up in that car, Becky was immediately drawn to me. And I said, baby, this ain't your father's Oldsmobile. Oh, come on, somebody. Yeah. Delta 88. Now I forgot why I got on that story. It'll come to me. What's that? Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, because what I was going to say, my previous cars that were loaners, they didn't have any air conditioning. Anybody driving a car with no air conditioning? You don't need it right now, but summer boy, you sure do. One of my first cars, it didn't have any air conditioning, but it had fumigation coming up through the floorboard. And my cousin said, be sure to drive with all the windows down. It was his car. He worked at the transmission shop. Be sure to drive with all the windows down, he says, because it's got a carbon monoxide problem that we haven't been able to figure out yet. I was like, I don't care. I'll drive that car. So, but this was the first car that I owned, and it had air conditioning. So then I timed my lunch break because I wanted to go eat my lunch in the car, and I wanted to turn on a radio preacher. Every broadcast, he would open with this line, "You don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God." Hallelujah. I said, "Yes, Lord." His name was R.W. Shambach. Hallelujah. And man, I could not wait to get to lunch to open my ham sandwich and listen to R.W. Shambach preach the gospel. You don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God. And I believed it. I believed it. And then I saw it in action. Hallelujah. And how many of you know he's still doing it today? He's still doing it today. Don't let anything move you away from the gospel. Don't let anybody influence you away from the gospel. Stay solidified. Stay in a church where you know there's Holy Ghost preaching. It's going to keep you strong. It's going to keep you in self-examination. Hallelujah. Stay with a body of believers. Don't allow anything to move you away from the hope of the gospel. Don't let any influence. Don't let this world. Don't let anything or anybody steal your faith. Keep trusting, keep believing, keep walking, because Jesus is the trailblazer, and today you can step into his victorious faith. And it is his. And that's why he said, I'm still in conclusion. And that's why he said, after his death, burial, and resurrection, and right before his ascension, what did he say? "Behold, I give you authority. Go and preach the gospel. Make disciples of every nation."